We have entered into the great season of Lent, and we're getting our bearings now, how to make progress through this holy time of the year. We were told on Wednesday that there are three essential elements: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. The idea of fasting, which is the focus of today's liturgy, comes up again and again throughout Lent. It was included in yesterday's Gospel as well, where Jesus said, "Whoever wants to follow me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." So this denying of self is in the same category as fasting. In fact, fasting, which in its strictest sense means not eating or eating less, can be also used in a broad sense to represent all self-denial, all forms of self-denial, including not using gadgets or not gossiping or not doing something that we enjoy. Some people include in the category of fasting refraining from sin. That's a convenient way of saying it, but it's not exactly right, because we shouldn't sin anyway. So it's not something that we can give up and then after Lent is over we start again. That's a bad attitude towards sin. Sin is always to be rejected. It's not exactly the same. Fasting is giving up or denying ourselves something that's legitimate, something that we could legitimately use or have or eat, but we don't for sacrificial purpose. So this is a very big topic, and I can only probably touch on a few ideas based on these scriptures. Let me start, though, with the funny circumstance that we find ourselves in nowadays, I mean we Catholics, because it used to be that the Catholic Church was known for a certain amount of rigorous self-denial. People who are of retirement age probably remember that Catholics were known as people who didn't eat meat on Fridays and who fasted on certain days and who had to go to Mass on Sundays and they went to confession on Saturdays. Those were the identifying marks of Catholicism. So there were lots of fast days. And in fact, every Friday, no meat on Fridays. With the changes that came with the council, the idea was, well, it's not enough simply to impose rules of self-denial. It should arise from within. It should be an expression of a person's own journey of conversion. So the church relaxed the rules with the idea that it would be more personal and less formal. Perhaps that's good, because the scriptures certainly are against formal or external, merely external forms of self-denial, including today's first reading. Don't just fast and fast and then think that that's enough when there's all other problems to be addressed. Well, the effect, though, even though the intention might have been good, the effect has been that in the Catholic Church, there's very little self-denial. 2 days a year and 1 hour before receiving communion, and that's it. So almost anyone can do that. And if you're over 59, you don't even have to do that. I mean, about the 2 days. So not much to it. It's a little bit comical, because every world religion has more fasting than we have now. The Hindus fast, the Muslims fast, the Jews fast, the Buddhists fast, but the Catholics, well, sometimes. So it's a little bit ironic now. Even people with no faith at all fast. There's lots of reasons for denying ourselves and lots of ways of doing it. So people in the secular world, they won't eat certain foods out of a protest. So people are vegetarians, or people don't eat foods that come from certain countries or from certain companies. That's all forms of fasting. You might think of the spiritual leader of India, Gandhi. Gandhi recognized that fasting had not only spiritual power, It also had social and political influence. So he would go on a hunger strike, and it would change the course of his country's history. So there's all different kinds of fasting. Some are better than others. So what can we do here? Well, the scriptures that we have today, the first reading especially, reminds us that fasting in itself is not necessarily pleasing to God. It's possible to fast in a way that is not fruitful. In fact, it's possible to fast in such a way that we make things worse. And that's what Isaiah is saying to the people, or the Lord is saying to the people through Isaiah. The people are saying, here, we're fasting. We're fasting, Lord, and you're not giving us the benefit of it. It's a kind of self-righteous demand. And then the Lord's response to that is, that they ask, well, why are you not paying attention to our very holy fasting? And the Lord's response to that is, well, look what you do on your fast day. On your fast day, you carry out your own pursuits, self-will. You drive all your laborers, so lack of charity, abuse of other people. Yes, your fast ends in quarreling and fighting and striking with wicked claw. So, sure, you're fasting, but you're actually making yourselves worse. This is connected to the realization that prayer, fasting, and almsgiving all go together. You can't just have one. It doesn't work that way. So if we fast but become less charitable, or if we fast and pray less, we're fasting in the wrong way. And the Lord, through Isaiah, says, well, this is the kind of fast I really want. I don't want you simply to put ashes and sackcloth and ashes on. I want you to release those bound unjustly, untie the thongs of the yoke, set free the oppressed, share your bread with the hungry, shelter the oppressed and the homeless, clothe the naked, which all categories of all our actions which we would put into the category of almsgiving. So if you're going to fast, do it in such a way that other people also benefit. Either in practical ways, because you're actually giving things to them, or in spiritual ways. It's possible to fast in reparation, fast in a way that counters evil, or joins others in suffering, or joins in the work of reparation. Yes, lots of good reasons for fasting. Today's psalm says, you are not pleased with sacrifices. This is the prayer that we make to the Lord. You're not pleased with sacrifices, meaning external acts only. Should I offer a burnt offering, you would not accept it. Well, we don't offer burnt offerings very much nowadays. But what does the psalm say? My sacrifice, O God, is a contrite spirit. A heart contrite and humbled, O God, you will not spurn. Sacrifice of a contrite spirit. The sacrifice that's associated with repentance. This is what we did on Ash Wednesday. Why did we fast on Ash Wednesday and put ashes on our head on Ash Wednesday? It was a sign of repentance. We weren't trying to force God to do anything or prove that we're holy. What we're proving is that we're sinners and that we are sorry for our sins. That's fast, one of the reasons for fasting. In today's gospel, the disciples of John the Baptist point out that they do a lot of fasting. And the Pharisees do a lot of fasting. In fact, devout people of every age and in every religion do a lot of fasting. But the disciples of Jesus don't fast at all. It's a little bit scandalous to the religious. And so they ask, well, why don't they fast? Why don't your disciples fast? And Jesus, in order to point out how different everything is now that he has come, he says, well, wedding guests don't fast. It's not the time to fast. some people have misunderstood this to mean now there's no more need for fasting, because now that Jesus has come, there's no more fasting. That's wrong interpretation. Jesus himself fasted. We're going to be pondering this on Sunday, right? And Jesus fasted for 40 days, so he can't be against fasting. What he says is, don't fast when in the wedding celebration. That's why we don't fast on Sundays. That's why we don't fast during Easter. We don't fast on solemnities, days when we celebrate the goodness of the Lord, we don't fast. But he says, the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. He's talking, of course, about his own death. But we can apply it to ourselves in this sense. The Lord is never taken away from us in the absolute sense. He said, Behold, I am with you always. So the Lord is with us always. But sin has the effect of separating us from God. So in that sense, he's taken away from us. We take ourselves away from him. Sin has this effect of ruining the celebration, ruining the wedding feast. And so the right thing to do is to fast, to mourn, to grieve, to show that we are sorry for having done that. That's what we do in Lent. Yes, fasting. Yes, acts of self-denial. It's important. In fact, it's essential. There is, every single day, a need to deny ourselves, some way or another. Doesn't mean you have to stop eating every single day, but there's occasions every single day when we have to say to the demands of our nature, no, I won't do that. No, I won't give into that. And I don't mean simply against temptations to sin. I mean legitimately good things which I'm not going to do now. If we don't have that capacity to deny ourselves, then we can't really grow. It's part of maturity to be able to, what the psychologists call delayed gratification. We have to be able to do that, or we can't grow. It means we can't grow because we're still enslaved by the movements, the passions that dominate us. We have to be able to deny ourselves. So whether you have psychological reasons, whether you have health reasons, whether you have social political reasons, or you have religious reasons, self-denial is an essential part of the picture. Here we are in Lent. Our real reason, our deepest reason, is our desire for union with God. Our desire to be one with God. We cannot be one with him unless we deny ourselves. Jesus said it very clearly. Whoever or anyone who wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. What that cross is, what that fasting is, it will be different for each person, for each period of history, for each day, in fact. But the principle is absolutely certain. It's a rock solid principle of the spiritual life. Self-denial, fasting. One last thought that's connected to this. We have here in the chapel, we have this PFFP movement. It hasn't really taken off, but we still are following this PFFP, prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting to fight pornography, PFFP. Well, prayer, we understand, is a spiritual weapon. Fasting is also a spiritual weapon. It can be used to counter evil. Remember that movement takes its name from the place where Jesus says some demons can only be driven out by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. So it's not only a sacrifice of a contrite heart or against our own sins or a discipline of our own nature, it's also a weapon against evil. It's a way to overcome evil spirits. Prayer and fasting. We could say prayer, fasting, and almsgiving to fight pornography if we want to, because they go together, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. But the focus today is fasting, self-denial. What a great gift it is to understand this principle and make good use of it.